Hey, bud, you got a spud?
No, fool, but I got a cool.
Now, I'm a feller with a heart of gold, with the ways of a gentleman, I've been told. The kind of a feller that wouldn't even harm a flea. But if me and a certain character met, the guy that invented the cigarette, I'd murder that son of a gun in the first degree. Now, it ain't cause that I don't smoke myself, and I don't reckon they hinder your health. I've smoked them all my life, and I ain't dead yet. But nicotine slaves are all the same at a petting party or a poker game. Everything's gotta stop while they have that cigarette.
Smoke, smoke, smoke that cigarette. Puff, 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 and if you smoke yourself to death,
tell St. Peter at the Golden Gate that you hates to make him wait, but you just gotta have another cigarette.
Good afternoon, it's 12:03, it's Monday, it is lunchtime, and welcome to the Lunchbox on the K-Zone, the Monday edition here on 105.3 FM and AM 1280 WPKZ. I'm Sherman Whitman, thank you so much for joining us, and we've got lots to talk about, a lot of ground to cover during these next 60 minutes. We'll spend part of the time talking about the air that we breathe, the air that we inhale and exhale, and sometimes the complications we have with the air that we're breathing, inhaling, exhaling. The process sometimes can be a little more difficult than we think it should be. And there are reasons for that. One, dealing with things like allergies, because it's the time of year, of course, with summer and the temperatures reaching the 80s, eventually 90s, and hot days are coming. And also there are things in the air like pollen and other things that make it tough to deal with these conditions, and it makes it tough for us to breathe. Not to mention there are things, let's say if you are a kid, maybe that you're dealing with asthma. Maybe you dealt with this at an early age, which is my case, growing up in a household with two parents who were smokers back in the 60s. My father smoked the unfiltered Camel cigarettes. My mom smoked Viceroys. And family members, relatives, uncles, aunts who smoked cigarettes, whether it was Camels or Viceroys, the Herbert Terrytons, the Chesterfield Kings, the Lucky Strikes, or the unfiltered Cools. The kinds of tobaccos that make you go like, oh boy. And if you're a kid inhaling these things in your house, sometimes you wind up having trouble breathing, and which was a case for me growing up. During my formative years, I had to deal with asthma as a kid. And when it came to things like the President's Council and physical fitness test, one person always came in last. That was me, because it came to where I could do like push-ups, pull-ups. I sort of did the pull-ups okay. And the rope climb, I sort of was so-so. But when it came to running like things like the 600-yard dash, I came in dead last every time just because I had trouble breathing trying to run 600 yards nonstop. And so with all the kids, they're like waiting like 3 minutes for me to finish because it took me that long to go through 600 yards as a kid. So we're talking about the air we breathe as we start the program. And we're pleased to be joined by David Guyton. He is the executive director of the Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America, the New England chapter. And also joining us is Jan Hansen. She is the board president of AAFA New England. She's also the founder of Educating for Food Allergies. David, Jan, thank you so much for joining us. Welcome to our airways. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having us. We're delighted to be here.
And let's start by learning about the foundation. Tell us about the foundation and how it all began.
Well, thank you. To all your listeners out there, I guess I appreciated the story that we just heard here from Sherman, because believe me, we get calls of people relating those kinds of stories all the time in our office, and we recognize the fact that, in fact, what is happening is there is an increasing need for the kinds of things we do at this organization. Well, the Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America, New England chapter, we're dedicated to improving the quality of life for people who have asthma and allergies in all six New England states. And we do this and pursue this as our mission really through a wide range of things: education, public awareness, advocacy programs, and support for research. Interestingly enough, Sherman, over the years since our founding in 1979, so we are actually 40 years old this year, we're proud to say.
Congratulations.
Thank you. We'll be celebrating that in something I'll mention later on, our fall gala, which comes in October. But in the meantime, I wanted to mention, too, that our organization has played a major role, really, especially in our early days, in instituting smoke-free public places, and certainly boots-on-the-ground advocacy for and against a host of matters that related to asthma and allergy. I'm proud to say, as we live in Massachusetts here, that Massachusetts is one of the more forward-thinking and forward-acting states in this area of helping people, our constituents who are, you know, suffering with these kinds of conditions. But there's a growing need, and you know, I think Jan Hansen is in an excellent position to speak to that. So I'll see if she wants to mention some of those statistics that are daunting.
Sure, absolutely. I just want to expand a little bit on AF New England. As David said, we've been around for a number of years, and we're truly boots on the ground. We're a nonprofit organization, and we're there for folks in our community who have or care for somebody who has asthma and or allergies. And we're really proud of the work we do, especially our educational programming. We've had a program that we instituted a year ago in Boston inner city schools, where asthma is a problem for these students who have this diagnosis. And we called it Be Smart and Breathe Easy. And we work with school nurses and custodial staff to combine managing asthma symptoms and also look at the environmental triggers. And we can talk more about triggers in a little bit, but to try to help remediate asthma in schools so that these kids can attend school and be healthy in doing it. There are a lot of extraneous things that happen when a student has asthma and it's not controlled. So what many people don't realize is how far... It was interesting hearing your story, Sherman. I agree with David. Although, by the way, I had trouble running the 600-yard dash as well, and it wasn't because of asthma. But for asthma facts in the United States, approximately 26 million Americans have asthma. It's a daunting number, and asthma is the leading chronic disease in children in the United States. Right now, 6 million children under the age of 18 have asthma, and it is the top reason for missing school. I can throw it, asthma accounts for something like 11 million doctors' office visits annually, and it's the top reason. Asthma is the top reason for emergency room visits annually. And when we're looking specifically at Massachusetts, we are not immune to this. Prevalence of asthma, and I'm sorry to say this, asthma is higher in Massachusetts than in any other state in the United States. And we have our asthma capitals report that comes out from our AFA national group annually, and Springfield, Massachusetts, has the highest rate of reported asthma than in any other city in the country. So there are things that are happening now to try to investigate why that is, and to try to when you're number one, usually that's a good thing. In this case, it is a very bad thing, it's something that we need to work on to reduce asthma all over, but especially in these cities that came out so high. Boston also was on that list, not number one, and I'm trying to see what our asthma report was for that. Boston came in number 8 in the country for asthma. So clearly this is a chronic condition that needs to be addressed and quickly so that mm-hmm. people are healthy and breathing and working and exercising and doing all the things that we want to do in life.
Let me ask you this. Now, what specifically is asthma? To describe what is asthma for those who haven't had to deal with this or experience it, what is asthma?
Yeah, asthma is a chronic disease of the small airways in the lungs. It's the small airways. What happens is that the airways become inflamed. It becomes hard to breathe. And obviously, that's problematic. Why this happens, there is a genetic component. There are a lot of triggers for somebody who has asthma that can activate their asthma symptoms. Symptoms can be coughing, shortness of breath, wheezing, chest tightness, significantly so. And so this chronic disease, it never goes away. It might get better for a period of time in your life. Very often occurs in childhood. Maybe might get better, and might return again when you're older. It cannot be cured, but it can absolutely be managed through medications and having what we call an asthma action plan that you work with your allergist. The best person to see if you have asthma or allergies is an allergist, because they are specialists in that field of medicine, and they can work with you to have an action plan that you can limit your triggers, recognize your symptoms, so that you're able to function in the world actively and live with your asthma and not be stopped by it. If that answers your question.
All right, that answers my question, but you've also answered another question of mine, because I was wondering at the same time, hoping that if, seeing that I had asthma as a kid, is this something that you grow out of, but you say this is something that's going to be with me for life?
Well, yes, it can be cured, it can be managed, and the symptoms can, you know, as you grow, the symptoms can become reduced as you recognize the things that you want to avoid, I'm sure. You're not in the household, as you mentioned, with people smoking, because tobacco smoke is a trigger for people with asthma, secondhand smoke, that kind of thing. So, you know, and these are things that when you work with your allergist, they would be able to give you an indication, you know, what your asthma can, how it can be managed, and so that you're not, you know, suffering from this on a daily basis.
Now, another question for you, because we talk about foods that we eat and foods that there are some foods that we are allergic to. Are there foods that we eat that can help maybe trigger asthma? Is that possible?
I think if you are allergic to a food, and again, I am not a physician, but there are certain foods, if someone has a food allergy, it can cause symptoms that will complicate asthma symptoms. We know that in children particularly, and that's really more my area of expertise on statistics, children who have food allergies and asthma are at an increased risk for having their asthma activated and for serious anaphylactic type of reaction. So food can definitely affect the body and cause tightening of the airways and of the throat and cause asthma symptoms for sure.
There are symptoms and there are also what are asthma episodes. And I've dealt with many of these as a kid. It's nothing that's really something that you want to deal with, something that you want to experience. Describe what is an asthma episode for our listeners.
And it goes by a number of different names: an asthma episode, an asthma attack, an asthma flare. And what that means is that, and it can be caused by exercise, it can be caused by environmental triggers. What happens is the airways, as I described a little bit earlier, become inflamed. The small airways in the lungs become inflamed. They can become swollen, if you will, and it causes tightening of the airways because the air cannot move through freely at that point in time, and it can cause the symptoms I mentioned: coughing, shortness of breath, wheezing, chest tightness. So that is what you would experience if you were having an asthma flare or attack or episode.
Now, during my formative years, I remember my mom and dad giving me like Vicks VapoRub to put on my chest, and then you'd have these machines that you put in water and I guess have the vapor, and you inhale the vapor as a way of dealing with your asthma. The ways of treating asthma, those have changed over the years since the days of just putting Vicks VapoRub on your chest and hoping for the best.
Yes, you're right about that. So again, these are things that somebody who has asthma or feels that they're having these symptoms and might have asthma should absolutely go see an allergist, and the allergist will take their medical history, and they will help the patient to understand, is this the correct diagnosis? And if it is, if it's asthma, they're going to work on an asthma action plan, as I mentioned, to help the patient understand, to recognize their symptoms, understand what their triggers are, and how to avoid those triggers. And then they'll probably, likely, they will prescribe what's called quick relief medicines, which are bronchodilators, will help those small airway lungs to, become less inflamed and open up to let the air through when they're having an asthma episode, attack, or flare. And they'll also probably put them on a long-term, what we call long-term controller medications that they'll take on a regular basis so that they can control those symptoms from happening. There are other therapies when things aren't being controlled well, oral steroids and those kinds of things. The goal is to reduce exposure to those triggers and to have a maintenance medicine, if you will, that long-term controller medicine to help the asthma symptoms from flaring. In control when you're having fewer asthma symptoms, particularly at night. Sometimes nighttime's a tough time for people with asthma. So when you have your asthma controlled, you're going to see fewer symptoms at night. You're going to not need to use your rescue inhaler as often. That's the albuterol that we hear about. You'll have reduced asthma flares episodes. You'll be able to participate in activities, not miss work, not miss school the way you were. Those are the kinds of productive things that you'd see when your asthma is being controlled.
12:19, our time on the Monday Lunchbox on the K-Zone, 105.3 FM and AM 1280. We are talking with Jan Hansen. She is board president of AAFA New England, that being the Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America, and David Guyton is executive director of AAFA New England. We're going to take a short time out. Our conversation will continue here on 105.3 FM and AM 1280 WPKZ. Twelve 22, our time as the Lunchbox continues on the K-Zone, 105.3 FM, AM 1280, WPKZ. We're talking with David Guyton, Executive Director of the Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America, New England Chapter, and Jan Hansen, Board President of AAFA New England. We're talking about asthma and allergies. Let's look for a moment or two at allergies. Now, what are allergies, to be specific? What are they? What causes allergies?
A study that came out regarding the allergy capitals of America, and as Jan mentioned, with asthma, Springfield was number one. Guess what? Springfield showed up as number five on the allergy capitals. But I think in answer to your question, you know, there are some important factors there. Pollen, mold count, all relate to high incidences of allergies, and there are again more than 50 million Americans experiencing this kind of seasonal nasal allergies, myself as well. You're going to find runny noses, you're going to find congestion, you're going to find inflamed sinuses, people sneezing. I happen to sneeze probably about 13 times. My wife counts that for me when I start until I finish. But these are symptoms really associated with a lot of springtime allergies that, Sherman, you mentioned are prevalent this time of year.
You mentioned with pollen, there's different types of pollen for spring. There's one, there's some sets of pollen for spring, another set or two of pollen for summer, sets for pollen for the fall. Even though winter is a time where it seems like the air clears out because it's so cold, I would imagine there may be times during the winter where you're dealing with pollen as well.
Indoors as well. And, of course, there are increasingly sophisticated machines to help people clear the air, you know, in their sort of air purifiers that are available now that help for regulating that indoor incidence.
Another thing about allergies is that also, it's not just from inhaling, it's also from things we eat as well. That's another source of allergies.
Yeah.
For sure. Go ahead, Jan.
Yeah, I was just going to say, for food allergies, that is what I've dedicated my career, really, since 2001 in helping kids with food allergies or at school so that they're fully engaged and safe while they're at school. But, yeah, there are food allergies affect a number of people in the country. Well, allergies themselves affect 50 million Americans, have some type of allergies you were just talking about. It could be to food, it could be to insects, could be to medication, latex, you know, the pollen we've talked about, mold, indoor triggers, pet dander or pet saliva, those kinds of things. And food is one of them. There are, in America, we have 8 foods that are considered the top 8 foods that can cause a food allergy. Sesame is not on the list. It happens to be in Canada. It is a growing food allergy for folks. The top 8 are milk, soy, eggs, wheat, peanuts, tree nuts, fish, and shellfish. And peanut and tree nut are the most common food allergen for people here in America, followed by milk and shellfish. And what happens, you had asked that earlier, Sherman, I think, for an allergy, whether it's food, insect medication, or any of the other things we've talked about, that occurs when the body's immune system sees a substance that it perceives as harmful, and it basically overreacts to it. And that causes the allergic reaction. And for food, if it's a food that we're allergic to, the substance in that food that causes the allergy for a person is a protein, sometimes multiple proteins that are in that food. That's the culprit in a food allergy.
There's so much that we could talk about. Unfortunately, time is not on our side. I'm looking at the clock right now. We only have so much time left together. So let's take the moments we have and learn about events, activities that you might want our listeners to know about, because as you mentioned, you're in the midst of your 40th anniversary celebration, so I'm sure there's some events that are coming up soon.
Thank you very much for affording us the time to do that. Yes, we do have, just for your the people listening, a speaker series event coming up on Wednesday of this week from 7 to 8 p.m. It has to do with digital health, and this will also be available for people to listen to on facebook.com/AAFA New England. So tune into that if you'd like to hear all about digital health and what's going on in that area. With respect to the near future, our fall gala is coming up. We have our second annual fall gala. It's called For Life Without Limits. It's Friday, October 25th, 6 to 9:30 at the Boston College Club in downtown Boston. We'll be celebrating our 40th anniversary and at the same time honoring three champions of the asthma and allergy community. Kyle Dine, who's an internationally known singer and songwriter who speaks to children about food allergies through song. Dr. Chris Fanta, who is an allergist and board-certified allergist and director of the Partners Asthma Center and also professor at Harvard Medical School, has been doing some wonderful work over the years, and we're proud to have him as one of our honorees. And finally, Mark and Gail Elvidge, a couple who started an organization and a company called Vermont Nut-Free Chocolates in 1998. They'll be there and also be distributing some of their products while there at the event. So we'll have event sponsors, we'll have an auction, and a lot of, good feelings about what's going on in this area. The next day, on October 26th, we have a Kyle Dine Family Concert and Expo and Teal-o-ween, where kids and parents can come dressed up in Halloween costumes and be in an environment where there are exhibits, free samples, coupons, and a nice concert being done for this benefit by Kyle Dine himself. One other thing I want to mention, we're opening up, starting in the fall, 9 locations throughout the 6 New England states of a program we call SAGE, which is Support, Advocacy, and Group Education. This is designed to help people meet with each other, support each other, and at the same time support the cause of asthma and allergy education and advocacy. One other thing about advocacy, we are backing several legislative efforts. One, by the way, is called an Act to Improve Food Allergy Awareness, and it relates to how food preparation and food service in Massachusetts restaurants is conducted. This is all for the safety and support of parents and their families. And finally, we're supporting a Senate bill called 255, which is an act to establish food allergy plans in schools. Right now, there are some 40% of schools that do not have, believe it or not, an active food allergy plan. We want to change this and make it a necessary thing. So we're doing a lot of work on a number of fronts, and we thank you for giving us the opportunity to speak to these on your program.
And very quickly, if people want to learn more about the association, the best place to go?
www.asthmaandallergies.com.